You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We made it to a Friday. It's a meat Friday. We got brisket on the smoker and brisket sliders a little bit later on. Come on in, stay a while. Gang's all here ready to go. Adam Sandler will join us coming up, final hour. He's got a new movie coming out next Wednesday, Hubie Halloween, just in time for Halloween. And Sandman will join us. I have a small role in that movie. I play the principal and nearly steal the movie. That's just my interpretation of it, but I'll let Sandler tell you. Also, Sandler has a big surprise for one of the Danettes as well. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle it, DP Show. And we'll have a poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that coming up. Tanking is not easy in the NFL. The front office can make moves to weaken the roster. We've seen that before, but the guys on the field are going to play, and they're going to play hard. As bad as the Jets are, there's still effort out there. And the loss to the Broncos on Thursday night drops them to 0-4. So congratulations, you're officially in the mix for the number one overall pick. And maybe that's a silver lining for what is going to be, already started out to be, a brutal season here. But, you know, there's another team that's probably equally as bad. They share the stadium with the Giants. Even if you do get the top pick, that doesn't guarantee success. Remember in 2018? The Jets traded up for Sam Darnold. They thought they had found their quarterback. This year, the big prize, of course, is Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. He seems great, but you never know, especially with the Jets. Tank or no tank, they're going to be in the mix for the top pick. Just don't think that there's any shortcuts to turning around this franchise anytime soon. And I'm watching last night, and I started to wonder, here you have Brett Rypien making his first start on the road in a short week, and you give up 37 points to the Broncos. That's bad. Once again, it's a rookie quarterback. He's never played. He wasn't drafted. He's on the road, his first start, a short work week, and the Jets allow 37 points. That's not easy to do. But Adam Gase is still employed as the head coach. And he was asked about what would he say to his critics.
What would you say to fans who don't want to see you be the coach of this team pass tonight?
I know we're working to get this thing right. I mean, I'm not happy about this. I mean, I know we can play way better than this. I know we can not beat ourselves and do the things we're doing.
And remember when I was talking about the scenario I thought would play out this year with the Jets is after a couple of weeks, Adam Gase would get fired. Then Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, takes over the rest of the year on an interim basis. I don't know if Greg Williams would distinguish himself this season to get that opportunity. Once again, you head up a defense that gave up 37 points to a rookie quarterback, undrafted, on the road, short work week. That's why they're not going to fire Adam Gase. Here is Adam Gase about his defense.
We had multiple chances to get off the field. We hurt ourselves. I mean, the penalties were just they're brutal. I mean, it's just made a punt one time. We couldn't do the right stuff. I mean, when we did hit them, we were hitting them too late, and we're getting personal fouls, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah, there was some cheap shots there last night, certainly at the very end on Rypien, and I'm sure the NFL will take a closer look at that. And as a result, the Broncos head coach, Vic Fangio, was asked why he didn't shake hands at the end of the game with Adam Gase. This is what the Broncos coach had to say.
I just wanted to avoid any confrontation at the end of the game and having it get ugly there. So I tried to get our guys to leave quickly just to avoid anything happening there. I thought it was the prudent thing to do.
Now, that's being an adult, because I think Vic Fangio was saying, I didn't trust myself if I went out there and confronted Adam Gase after that game last night. But the Broncos pick up a win, and the Jets fall to 0-4. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can a variety of ways. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle, @DPShow. Todd, I know you're dying to talk about the Broncos, so go ahead. You got all dressed up. You got your Broncos gear on. Go ahead.
It was a nice win, and
all right.
I thought
Thank
it was
you,
an
Todd.
Exciting.
Oh, you got other things to say?
I thought both teams fought hard. I know it was sloppy at times, and there was pick sixes and interceptions, and it got sloppy and ugly at the end with the hits on Rippon. But I thought both teams, for two 0-3 teams on a Thursday night, I thought there was some entertaining moments there. If the Broncos would have lost, I would have said the game sucked.
Yes, McLovin.
Shouldn't he be upset that they won when you look at it big picture?
Well, are they going to be as bad as the Jets? So if you do lose, are you going to lose enough? And I think they think a lot of Drew Lock here. Not that if they're on the clock and Trevor Lawrence is there, that they wouldn't strongly consider taking Trevor Lawrence. I just don't think the Broncos are going to be as bad as the Jets, but because the Jets are bad. You know, you did have one moment there with Sam Darnold. That's as good a run as you're going to see a quarterback make. That was a spectacular run. But I think the big surprise was about 15 yards into it, I thought Sam Darnold was going to slide. And I think all the defenders came up as if, okay, we can't hit him. And then, you know, they had a casual approach to him, and then he just kept going. He's a great athlete. But that, I think, was embarrassing on the Broncos' part. They weren't going to touch him, and then they were sort of going to touch him. And then he's going to slide, and then he's not sliding. It's like, wait a minute here. And then 46 yards later, and that was the highlight. That was it for the Jets. And then you had him get hurt. They had the first-round pick, Mekhi Becton. He's already got an injured shoulder. He dresses for the game in an emergency situation. He's holding his shoulder on the bench, and he's dressed. And I'm going, if this guy is your left tackle for the next decade, get him out of his damn uniform. Why are you... Oh, man.
Joe Thomas from the NFL Network was live tweeting a former offensive tackle. He's like, this is really dangerous. A shoulder issue is no joke. You know, put someone else in. This guy's too valuable in this meaningless season to put out there for a couple plays.
You're not winning anything. You want him to play? You want him to play when he's healthy. Yes, McLovin.
You know who loved all of this? Clemson fans. As we mentioned yesterday, the Jets get number one. Trevor's back. He's going to stay in college,
yeah.
Maybe.
If I'm Trevor, I wonder what Trevor Lawrence thinks when he watches bad football. Because in his mind, he's probably thinking, well, let me see, what's the roster look like? What's it look like in Detroit, Washington, the Jets, the Giants, Jacksonville? Or does he just say, I can't watch? Yes, Todd.
Would you really stay in college because you're concerned about the team that's going to pick you first? Who knows what's going to happen the following year anyway? You could have a team just as bad, if not worse. Ultimately, you're going to go to a bad team because that's the whole idea about how you got the first pick in the first place.
Well, I would pull in Eli Manning or John Elway. I mean, that's how you got John Elway.
It is. He even threatened to play for the Yankees. Forget about the Colts.
Trevor's going to threaten to play baseball. This program brought to you by Traeger. We got the Traeger grills fired up here today with the brisket. Brisket, by the way, was cooking for 14 hours on the Traeger. And you know the beauty of that? You don't have to sit there and monitor. You can just put it on the Wi-Fi technology, and you can monitor what the grill is doing. And it's on your phone. It's very convenient. TraegerGrills.com/DP Show. What's the poll question you're going with today, McLovin?
Okay, Paulie threw out a question that I don't know if there's a right answer. Which of these franchises wins the Super Bowl within the next decade?
It's like the betting against it.
Oh, which, sorry, it doesn't win.
Which franchise would you bet a week's pay does not win a title in the next 10 years?
Or you could also ask which is most likely out of this group to break out. Because I don't know who has a shot.
I skew negative.
Yes. At least in the first hour, we skew negative. Jets, Jags, Bengals, Washington, Lions. Are we leaving out the Giants for a reason? Yeah, Paul.
I left out the Giants because historically the Giants are a quality franchise, and they're usually a competitive franchise. Mm. Historically, they compete.
The last 3 years, they've been the worst team in football.
Terrible. But the past 40, they're pretty...
And as long as Dave Gettleman is there, I don't see them getting out of this hole.
So they're in the poll.
Yeah, if you want to put them on there, I would probably say the Jets. It just feels systemic that no matter who you bring in, like you're bringing in an offensive-minded head coach in Adam Gase who worked with Peyton Manning. So his credentials are, I'm a great offensive mind. They average less than 20 points a game. That's hard to do in the NFL. There's no offensive genius there. I mean, he might be offensive minded, but it doesn't translate onto the field there. Yeah, McLovin.
But you have serious ownership problems with the Lions, the Washington football team, and the Bengals. They're never going to win. They're not, even if they get the number one pick, the Bengals aren't going to spend. Washington's dysfunctional. Detroit has never come close. So I think it's the Jets have a better chance than all of those teams.
Well, they might spend the money because they're in the New York area, metropolitan area. Washington, how long does Daniel Snyder keep this job? By the way, the Knicks spend money, and they're in New York, and that hasn't helped them.
But they have that same organizational thing. You know, you can't have a completely dysfunctional person at the top of the org chart. And
yeah, but I don't know if the Johnson family, like Woody is over in Europe, isn't he? Didn't he get a job with President Trump?
Yeah, he's ambassador of Great Britain.
Yeah, so that's the owner who's over in Great Britain here. The Lions, yeah. Like, you know, there's no wrong answer here or right answer here, however we want to phrase it. Yes, Paulie.
That ambassador gig, that's got to be the cushiest job on earth. Like, if you get ambassador to, like, Jamaica, I don't know if there is one, but that seems like you got to go to a lot of dinners.
Like Italy would be ambassador to Italy.
You get a nice quarters.
And
nice
I
house.
Live Lake Cuomo right next to George Clooney.
It's not the worst.
No.
You probably get a free car and someone to take care of you.
Yeah.
A lot chauffeur. Of carbs over there, though. Like, you'd put on weight.
Yeah. So what?
An ambassador. You're not a javelin thrower.
All right. What are the other points?
Okay. Which is the upset that would be the most fun for us to talk about on Monday morning?
Okay.
The Patriots beat the Chiefs. They're 7-point dogs. Cam beats Mahomes.
All right.
The Heat win one of the two games against the Lakers.
Gosh. You got game two coming up tonight. You got Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo, who I believe are doubtful for this game. Boy, the NBA desperately needs the Heat to win a game. And it has to be tonight, because if you don't win on Sunday night, then nobody's going to care after that. The ratings are already low, historically low after game one, and now you have game two. Game three is on Sunday night opposite the football. So it's almost as if, hey, boy, wasn't the regular season and the playoffs in the bubble great until we got to the NBA Finals? Because this is going to go south in a hurry here.
Yeah, wait, a couple other ones, too. What if Texas A&M beat Alabama? That'd be a big deal.
Yeah, I guess.
And then I have one baseball. What if the Marlins oust the Cubs just because the Marlins were the most written off team in the entire league?
And does Don Mattingly win manager of the year? But does he lose votes because his players tested positive and they went out on the town or whatever it is? I don't know if he gets penalized for that, but there's going to be an upset this weekend in the NFL. Let me throw out one. You ready for this? I'm going to let you guess first. Guess Dan's upset. Brought to you by Pepto-Bismol. You got an upset?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yes, McLovin?
I got a couple.
Okay. You only get one pick.
Oh.
Todd, you got one?
I'm going to say that the Las Vegas Raiders are going to beat the Bills. Are they underdogs? I'm assuming they're underdogs at home to Buffalo.
That's a very slight underdog, I'm going to
Las
guess.
Las Vegas.
Yes. And I don't know if it's L-A-Z.
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas and NASCAR.
Vegas?
Yes, McLovin.
I'm going to go with the Dolphins at home beat the Seahawks.
Seton O'Connor.
Is it a football upset?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. Paulie, you got one?
Lions over Saints. Not a big upset.
Okay.
Falcons over Packers?
The Falcons over the Packers? No. Dolphins over Seattle.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Nailed it.
Yes, Paulie.
You want to make it interesting? It's 6.5 points.
No, I'm not gambling on it.
Oh.
I'm just saying I think that that's the one game where if the Dolphins win, I'm not going to be surprised.
What if we just started doing it? What if we just started, like, pretend gambling and just see how you did?
I don't like that.
Well, it's just for fun.
No. Then my pride will say, you know, I want to prove that I can do this. And it's a horrible gateway drug for me. It is.
No, you're not doing anything.
We unknowingly keep track of your picks throughout the year and tell you in February.
Then I'm not going to tell you anything.
Okay, how about this? If we won't say anything to you, but if the bet comes in, like, we'll just bring breakfast on Monday. Like, oh, hey, look, there's bagels out there. That's nice.
If you only do things when I win and you don't tell me that you lost money or we lost money.
Right, right. That's the only way that you're going to know is that there's not, like, breakfast burritos that next morning.
I have an idea, and I was going to do it this year. And that was, I was going to put some money up, and I was going to let the backroom guys bet with my money.
Oh, bet Dan's money?
Yes.
Yes.
And I, you know, so Dylan, who runs graphics, who used to get breakfast, he bets on everything.
Yeah.
I was thinking of my friend in New Jersey, Bad Larry, who bets on everything. And then Shay and Irving,
whoa.
I was thinking. So I was going to have these guys bet my money each week. What could go wrong?
Who do you think is going to blow more of it?
Well, Shay could blow it on, as I have a snot bubble. Shay would blow it on other things.
Yeah.
So, hey, I won you a dime. Went out, spent it on, I blew it on, I went to Vegas. You do the impersonation better.
Extracurriculars.
Yes. Yes, Paul.
Dan, advisor to you is not exactly my job. A protector, sometimes I think. To put your livelihood in the hands of those, that triumvirate is dangerous. You don't get the name Bad Larry because you're a great gambler.
Paulie, it's about content.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes, Todd.
I want to know why you wouldn't be surprised if Miami beat Seattle. I was hoping you were going to elaborate on why you could see the Dolphins beating the Seahawks.
It's the same way I did with Detroit and Arizona. I didn't have to explain it because it's not explainable.
I don't know, what's making you envision that Russell Wilson would go into Miami and lose to them?
I have no idea, Todd. It's just these things come into my mind, right? It just comes into my head.
That'd be a great call by you if it happened.
It's like 13 years ago, leaving ESPN to start this. Should I have done it? No, I was told not to. And I still think I shouldn't have done it.
Wow. That's a shot.
Happy anniversary, by the way. Happy anniversary. 13 years ago, we're in my attic doing this show. And you know what? I don't think I've ever been happier. I think that it was fun. We did it for the right reasons. I didn't know who was listening. And here we are 13 years later. So 13 years ago yesterday was our first show in my attic. Let's take a break here. We'll settle on a poll question. Phone calls are coming up. Kyrie Irving has done it again. He's the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you, Kyrie. Thank you. You give me a segment or two here. Well, we'll back after this. It's 19 after the hour, Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Braves, Athletics, and the Dodgers advance. Clayton Kershaw was dealing last night. College football this weekend. A&M against Alabama, Auburn, Georgia. And, of course, you got Heat Lakers coming up tonight, game two. Here's something for you. If you're a Jets fan, the Jets are on pace to be outscored by 264 points this season. You might wonder where that stacks up in the last, I'll say, 10 years. The 2012 Chiefs and the 2011 Rams were outscored by 214 points. The Panthers in 2010, 212 points. The Buccaneers in 2011, 207. The Jags in 2013, 202 points. And the 2018 Cardinals were outscored by 200 points. The Jets are on pace to be outscored by 264.
Stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. Here comes that what? Stat of the day.
And Doc Rivers got hired by the 76ers. We'll talk about that hire. I said if Doc went to the 76ers, it just felt like you're basically going to a younger version of the Clippers. Barry in Long Island called yesterday, and he said, you know, for the most part, he roots against his team, the Jets, to lose, but then the game is played, and then he's rooting for the Jets. And Barry joins us right now from Long Island. Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Happy Meat Friday, my mishpacha.
Thank you.
Oy,
thank you, Barry.
My Jets.
Thank you. I know.
Ponderous, man. Ponderous. When Sam tripped over his own 2 feet yesterday, I cursed. When he was sacked to end the game, I cursed. This morning, I'm thinking, it's more of a mitzvah that they lost.
Yeah.
We're still in the Trevor Lawrence derby. Oh, and I already have my best of the weekend.
Okay.
I don't have to watch the Jets on Sunday.
Well done, Barry. Thank you for the phone call. When do the Jets play next there, McLovin? Just so I can circle that on my calendar, gather the kids around and watch some bad football.
I have them hosting the Cardinals on October 11th.
Ooh.
Man, they're going to trip into some wins. You just know the Jets can't do anything,
right? Oh,
yeah.
That's why when people go, oh, that team's not going to win a game. It's really hard to not win a game in the NFL. It's hard to win games. I'll give you that. But it's hard to go winless an entire season. Yes, Paul.
Here's the one that could be very bad for another franchise. The Jets, Week 16, host the Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
Imagine if the Jets were winless and somehow the Browns gave it up.
Mm. Mm.
Jets also have Miami, bye week Miami in the middle of the season.
Okay. But right now it's just a sprain for Sam Darnold on his shoulder. I thought he was done. And Troy Aikman said, I've broken my collarbone before, and that's what it looks like. Yeah, McLovin.
He was not very good after that. He missed I know his receivers stink, but he is really inaccurate.
Yeah.
I was wondering about his future. I'm like, wait, is this still... If you didn't know who Brett Rypien was, where he was drafted, where Sam Darnold was drafted, how would you have come out thinking that last night?
Yeah, that one moment that stood out for Sam Darnold was that run. But I don't want my quarterback doing that very often. I like that he can do that. But, if you say, hey, you want to see the highlights, and that's the only highlight, I'd like to see my quarterback be able to throw the ball. It feels like that is the trend in the NFL. Your quarterback throws for a lot of yards. All right, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at dp-SHOW. Paulie is he's all over that Padres bandwagon. That was a great game. Padres are fun. Slam Diego, that's fun. Tatis... here we go again with, he had a bat flip. Man, can we just have fun? How about we let a new generation in, okay? Because the generation that's holding on for dear life is over 50 years of age with baseball. How about we get something that's interesting? A younger generation tunes in. You might go, boy, well, if they're tuning in for a bat flip, then yeah, they might be tuning in for bat flips there. The game has lost its personality. Let's let the personality come through. Be demonstrative. Have fun with it. As long as you're not putting somebody's eye out when you flip your bat, I'm okay with it. I don't love it, but I get it. It's like when you see your team change colors, the uniform colors, and you're going, can you believe? They're not doing that for you. They're doing that for a younger generation to go, those are cool. And that's what happens. Padres, have fun. While you can, have fun. No issue with it whatsoever. Dodgers cruising there. The Astros and the A's is going to be flammable because there's some bad blood there between those two teams. But, yeah, it's been good. I've watched it. I think the fact that it's, best of three, that's where you go, wait a minute. The White Sox season is over? Yeah, it's best of three. Oh, my gosh. Imagine if the Marlins beat the Cubs. Cubs season's over. Yes, Paul.
Kershaw had a great night. Kershaw gave up 3 hits, 8 innings, 1 walk, 13 strikeouts for the guy who needs postseason success.
But if he pitches like this, then they're going to win the World Series, in my opinion. They have the best roster. And if he's great in the postseason, not good, but great, then they're going to win the World Series. Tampa and the Yankees is going to be spicy as well. So, there's some good matchups here. And I still believe if you're a Dodger fan and I said you could pick your opponent for the World Series, do you want the Yankees or do you want the Astros? I want the Astros. Baseball executives, TBS, they're going to go, or Fox, they're going to go, we want the Yankees. We want that market in there. I would love to see the Astros play the Dodgers. Yes, McLovin.
I think you guys are underestimating how big the Yankees are nationally.
Like, no, I understand it. I'm saying me.
Yeah.
As a baseball fan, that's what I want to see. The Yankees are fun. They hit a lot of home runs, and they got Gerrit Cole. Okay. The Astros, there is history there. There's bad blood there. We're curious to see just how good the Astros are this year if they're not cheating. That's a better storyline. Yeah, McLovin.
But I don't want to watch Astros A's for some reason. I agree with you. I want to watch Astros Dodgers, but Astros A's isn't quite.
No, it's not. No. Is Mike Fiers, the whistleblower on the Astros, still on the A's roster? Because that would be interesting if he's pitching in any of these games against his former teammates. Yeah, McLovin.
I have him as still on the A's.
Okay.
We'll double check that.
Yeah. All right. I'm interested in that. But the Braves, they advance. The A's and Dodgers yesterday, two games today. Kyrie Irving, the gift that keeps on giving. He was on a podcast with Kevin Durant, the Etceteras, the ETCSs, Etceteras, I believe. Kyrie was talking about this is the first time that he's able to play with somebody who's a clutch player, at the end of a game. Shooting-wise, here is Kyrie Irving.
10 seconds left, 1-point game. Who's shooting? You or Kyrie, KD?
Depends on who's hot. I don't see it as anything other than that. Like, 1-3 pick and roll, or it's an ISO for either one of us, or it's something great for our team. One thing I've always been comfortable with is, I felt like I was the best option on every team I played for, down the stretch. This is the first time in my career where I could look down and be like, that can make that shot too.
Okay. Now, Kyrie did come out and say, he later came out and had a post where he said, your media hating on us, why is it always going to be brother versus brother here? I didn't call out LeBron's name. But by saying KD is the one, the first time you got a guy who can hit a shot like that, you are calling out LeBron James. Yeah, I mean, you left him out. It's an omission by on purpose here. And then you're going to say that about Kevin Durant. I think if you look at LeBron's track record of hitting clutch shots in the playoffs, fourth quarter, final 2 minutes, overtime, he's one of the great clutch shooters in the history of the NBA. Kyrie has made two clutch shots in his career. In the playoffs, one is arguably the greatest shot in NBA history. It won a title. And then he had one other shot, and that is it. So LeBron, we should look at LeBron's numbers. In fact, Paulie, hold on for a second. I got some numbers here. So you guys talk amongst yourselves, and let me go get my phone.
I was thinking the irony of Kyrie Irving saying this, if he was saying about LeBron, while he's sitting in a room with a bunch of microphones and LeBron's three games away from another ring. The irony of that's funny.
All right, so I got my phone here. I got some numbers here. Taking the lead in the final 2 minutes of a fourth quarter or overtime game, LeBron James has gone 30 for 66. Kyrie, 2 for 7. LeBron is shooting 45.5% on these shots. Final 2 minutes of fourth quarter or overtime playoff game. Kyrie is shooting 28.6%. Kyrie has made 1 3-pointer in this scenario. That, of course, won the championship against Golden State. LeBron has hit 9 of 19 from 3-point range. So LeBron, crunch time, game on the line, is shooting 47% from 3-point range. Kyrie is shooting 33%. Well, I'm glad that Kyrie's got that clutch guy now in Kevin Durant. And look, you can love Kevin Durant. He's your buddy. You got a problem with LeBron. It's all said and done. Kyrie doesn't have anything. I mean, he's got the one shot to show for it. That's it. Like, and I don't know if it dawned on Kyrie. You're doing a podcast. LeBron's playing in the NBA Finals right now. I don't know if this is the time where you poke the bear, but... Kyrie, he baffles me sometimes. He's unbelievably talented. We can all agree. But I don't know if he makes his team better. He didn't do anything before LeBron. he hasn't done anything after LeBron. With LeBron, he was great. He also doesn't see Steve Nash as his head coach. Here's Kyrie Irving.
We don't need somebody to come in and put their coaching philosophy on everything that we're doing and change up the wheel and, yo, you guys need to start doing this. And we start running on the first day of practice. It's just like, no, I don't really see us having a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach.
Jacque Vaughn could do it one day. It could be, it's a collaborative effort, I think, on our part.
Yeah, what could go wrong? That was KD at the very end of it. Yeah, everybody's a head coach. You're a head coach, and you're a head coach, and you're a head coach. Caris LeVert, you're a head coach. Now, it could go right if Steve Nash plays this, you know, the right way. I mean, he's got to tiptoe here a little bit. Now, these guys are responsible for you being hired. They signed off on this. That's why Steve got the job. That's one of those where you can kind of turn it back on him. Like, you're here because we brought you in here. You know, we got our own, you know, thoughts here on how we're going to make this team great. You know, Kyrie went into Boston and it didn't go well. Now, he's got his running buddy with KD, and that'll help. But if it was just Kyrie in Brooklyn, this would not go well. And Steve Nash, probably he's going to get blamed. He's not going to get credit in this situation like this. But KD is and Kyrie Irving, those are, you know, assistant head coaches here, I guess. Yes, Seton?
But if this doesn't work out in Brooklyn, nobody's going to be like, well, Steve Nash, shouldn't have hired him. I mean, like, that's never going to happen. And be like, well, what did you expect Steve Nash to do with these two guys? He can't get them in control. How is he supposed to do anything? He's fine. Steve Nash is going to come away with this. Perfect.
Yes, Todd.
So if Nash is drawing up a play and it's a close game late, you're trying to tell me that Kyrie or Durant have the power to or would be comfortable to grab the clipboard from him and erase what Nash just put down and draw up something else?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, why not?
Are we suggesting that players aren't doing that now? Like LeBron is like, okay, Frank, tell us what to do here. I'm not sure. Like, of course, that's what they're all doing.
It'd be great if you saw Kyrie and he had his own chalkboard there. Like, he went into the huddle and he goes, all right, gather around here. This is what we're going to do. Yeah, Paulie.
Is Fritzy saying they should have some type of suggestion box before the last time out? They each put their play in and then open it up. Which one has
the
better?
Imagine if they turned all the chairs around and their backs are now facing Steve Nash and they're just looking at Durant and or Kyrie. Okay, you guys tell us what to do.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so, you know, and Kyrie always blames the media. Remember when KD and Kyrie got together at the All-Star game and they were in the tunnel? And we thought out loud, were they talking about maybe playing together? KD was going to leave Golden State, or at least that was the impression. Were they talking about it? Kyrie came out and blamed the media. Like, can't two guys just get together and talk? And then during the podcast, KD said, hey, you remember when we got together in the tunnel at the All-Star game and we talked about where we were going to play together? Now Kyrie's blaming the media. You know, that we're somehow reading into this that he's calling out LeBron. If I say Michael Jordan's the greatest player of all time, you know who I'm saying isn't the greatest player of all time? Kobe, Larry, Kareem, LeBron. So when he says, hey, I finally got a guy who can, I feel confident and who can hit a shot at the end of the game. I didn't call out LeBron. No. Yeah, you did. Because by saying KD is the guy I trust now, you just said I didn't trust LeBron or Kevin Love or Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, whoever else you played with. If I say Keith Olbermann's the best anchor I ever worked with at SportsCenter, now I'm saying that Stuart Scott wasn't or Rich Eisen wasn't or Craig Kilborn wasn't or Chris Berman. And then if I say, you know what, nobody really stands out, then that's a slight to Olbermann. So, I mean, Kyrie's got to understand how this works. If you give us something, then we're going to run with it a little bit. Because you're talking about LeBron right now as not being a clutch player. And Kyrie's got one moment in his career. And it's a moment that he'll, you know, he can hang his hat on and go to the Hall of Fame. But to say that LeBron wasn't clutch when the numbers prove otherwise, That just feels like you're hating on LeBron. Joseph in Florida. Hi, Joe. What do you have for me today?
Happy Friday, guys. Thank you for letting me call in real quick. I just wanted to address, maybe there's a slight undercurrent, because as we know, just a couple weeks ago, LeBron made that statement about the best player he's ever played with is AD. And maybe Kyrie took offense to that. I don't know, just throwing that out there. But I do want to say that the best Kevin Harlan that I've ever heard happened on your show. Thanks a lot. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Joseph. Yeah, Todd does this. You're better during the week doing a Kevin Harlan impersonation than Harlan is. But on Sunday, Kevin is better
Kevin
than
Kevin destroys me, I would hope.
Yeah, but Anthony Davis is a better basketball player than Kyrie Irving. Now, is LeBron saying that Kyrie's not as good as Anthony Davis? Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if somebody said, are you saying that Anthony Davis is better than Kyrie Irving? That's what I would ask LeBron. And he would be right to say that Anthony Davis is a better player than Kyrie Irving. Yes. Yes, Seton.
What's funny is that earlier in the podcast, and I don't remember if it was the first episode or the second, they talk about how, why is it when you mention one person, you somehow slight every single other person? It's like, no, I'm just talking about this one guy. No. Can't we just keep it focused on one person without it being commentary on everybody else? Which... I guess not.
That's his way. What, do you think that he is slighting LeBron James by saying KD finally has a guy that he can trust in the clutch?
I think that what he's saying is that he always felt like he was the best option, and now he's more comfortable sharing that option. I don't think that he said LeBron James is not clutch.
Well, he's not as clutch as KD.
Right.
And the numbers show otherwise. And I, you know, granted, you know, if he's still playing with LeBron and he had played with Kevin Durant, then he might say, hey, I got a guy that, you know, I can go to now in the clutch. I mean, it's just so a weird thing that now he's got a guy he can trust. That's the weird part of what he said. Now I got a guy I can trust. So he couldn't trust LeBron. That to me is he's singling him out.
There's one thing that's really clear about the two episodes is that Kyrie is an individual. He is unique for sure. And he does not care about anything. He's like, you know, he'll make a comment about like, why does it have to be twisted like this or whatever. But he does not care about like the media or really even like where he ranks as great players, any of that stuff. He's like, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he responded due to the backlash. And then he had another post where he said, why has it always got to be brother versus brother? And, you know, media is doing so. He does respond. And then when we said, did you talk to KD in the tunnel at the All-Star game? No, why can't two guys just get together? So he does. He's got rabbit ears. This stuff bothers him. It does. He may come out and say, why do we celebrate? We don't need to celebrate Christmas. The earth's flat. There's no dinosaurs. And then people say something, then he'll respond back to them.
Well, yeah, because people are calling him crazy.
Yes.
Yeah, that's.
And he keeps proving it. Yes, Todd.
Which makes him a perfect teammate to KD, who finds everything upsetting and gets really sensitive and can't let anything go in the social media world.
Let's take a break. We got Play of the Day coming up next here. Your phone calls as well on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Oh, my God.
The play. The play's called play. Of the day.
Runner left side, got it!
They're
going to
play it and play it.
This is the play of the day.
Check this out.
The pitch is in the air, deep towards right field. Fowler going back onto the warning track. Looking up, gonna go! He did it again! Fernando Tatis Jr. with his second home run in his many innings. A three-run shot in the sixth, and now a two-run shot here in the seventh. And the Padres go up 9-6.
Courtesy of the Padres Radio Network, they hit five homers, they score 11 runs, they force a Game 3 with St. Louis, they'll play tonight. 17 pitchers used last night in that game, tied for the most in a postseason game all time. The game that tied was that 18-inning Red Sox-Dodgers World Series game in 2018. So last night was, in fact, the most pitchers ever used in a 9-inning postseason game. Play of the day brought to you by Traeger, the wood pellet grill, offering Wi-Fi Connected convenience with real wood-fired flavor. You'll love it. Learn more. Visit a local dealer. Head to TraegerGrills.com/DP Show today. Poll question, McLovin, what are we going with?
Okay, our one was basically who's not winning the Super Bowl over the next decade. If you had to bet a week's pay, who will not win over the next decade?
Okay.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Yay, congratulations.
Then Lions, then Bengals, then Jags, then Giants. Only 1% say the Washington football team. I don't think people even care enough to click on there as an option.
Phone calls coming up. Who do the Titans play next week, McLovin? Because I'm curious about this, how long you have to quarantine. And you know, these are fringe players that tested positive, at least so far.
Right.
And who do they play next
week? They play the Bills in Nashville next week.
Okay.
And this game was supposed to be in Nashville, too. So they're all probably home.
Yeah. And what happens with your fantasy team that if you have Derrick Henry or the Steelers defense, Ben Roethlisberger, What do you do with your lineups?
I have Big Ben, so it's like a bye week. You know, we have to find a waiver. So we actually had to sign Carson Wentz back to the roster after cutting him last week.
Okay.
There's always a quarterback's available.
But do you have to have your roster in before last night?
No. At least we all do on Yahoo. You can change up to the last minute. What happened Thursday night does not affect your Sunday lineup.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if all leagues are like that.
By the way, we've been talking about Kyrie Irving and LeBron James. Career games missed due to injury. Kyrie has missed 178 games in 9 years. LeBron's missed 59 games in 17 years. And I'm going to guess a few of those with LeBron were rest. Brent in Texas. Hey, Brent, what's on your mind?
Dan, these comments by Kyrie, don't you think he makes up for it, though, with his acting chops? Have you seen Uncle Drew?
Yes, and he was spectacular in Uncle Drew. I'll give him credit. He was great in Uncle Drew. No, he's a great talent. There's no better handle in the NBA. And he's on the short list of greatest handles in the history of the NBA. He can get his shot. But he got to be on the floor, and he's not a great leader. But now he's got a guy who can hit a shot. Why does he need a guy he can trust? If he's the best option, he doesn't need another guy. Now he's got KD. Now I got a guy I can trust. All right. Good luck. Adam Sandler will join us coming up a little more than an hour from now. More phone calls coming up as well. This Meet Friday, Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly. This is the Dan Patrick Show.